Welcome to the Minivate Gang Podcast, episode 293. I'm Steve Borsch, and I'm on with one of Santa's elves, Tim Elliott.
Hey, good morning.
The stand-in for Mrs. Claus, Graham Thickens.
I'm feeling so jolly here post-Christmas.
And the man who catches the reindeer's droppings while Santa's in flight, Phil Wilson.
Well, someone's got to do it.
That's right. That's me and right. My five-gallon bucket.
That's right. Well, I thought it was a bag.
I use a bucket. It usually works better. You guys are goofy.
Well, yeah. Hey, good holiday this year. I liked it being dry.
Yeah, I did too, until this morning.
Well, of course, we can't have everything, right?
I like the fact that we got a little white Christmas a little bit late, but we still got a little white going on. So
yeah.
Yeah, but well, 5 inches in my driveway.
As I used to tell the kids, Jesus was born in the desert, so...
You know, there you go.
It wasn't until Bing Crosby came on the scene that we started pining away for a white Christmas.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah. So there it is.
People don't go to Bethlehem for the snow.
Yeah. Although last night I was reading this archaeology thread of really cool archaeology stuff going on in the world and things they're finding. And it turns out that there's a controversy about two different Bethlehems in the Middle East where there's a kind of a fight going on right now about which one is the actual birthplace of Jesus. Huh. So it's kind of interesting.
Didn't know that.
I didn't either.
Huh.
So it's kind of amazing.
I hear that the plane flights and the crowds over there though are really full. I mean, it's a big deal. Tourist season around Christmas there. I didn't realize that, but
yeah.
But the airport was crowded and
Where do atheists go for their Mecca, for their anywhere pilgrimage?
Anywhere they want.
Just curious.
Wherever they go, it's absurd.
Yeah. Oh, man.
All right.
Such little faith, right?
I know. Hey, let's jump into it. We have a lot to cover today.
And our prognostications are ahead, too.
They are. Our hits and misses from last year and...
of which there were many misses.
No.
So the news is that Steve is moving to Minnetonka so he can get that 10 gig internet service.
Exactly right.
You know, yeah. I'm kind of thinking about it, actually. Yeah.
when do you think that's actually going to happen?
I think, what is it? Pigs fly or monkeys come out of their butt or whatever it is.
I bet you by 2020, one of our predictions will be 10 gigs across the metro.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah. Are we still going to be doing this in 2020?
I don't know.
God, that's scary.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
Hey, we're only 5 years from there.
What's going on in the technology world?
Back in my day, we had phones made of Bakelite.
Yeah. And we rented them for $4 a month. Yeah.
It all came from the Bell Company.
But U.S. Internet says that they're actually going to roll this out.
High-speed internet.
Yes.
Yeah, and like two neighborhoods in Minnetonka.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know where that's, did they give a specific date when they wanted, sometime this year, 2020, sometime in 2015?
Well, I don't know. They don't even have that many areas of Minneapolis covered. Isn't it a pretty tiny area?
Yeah.
Southwest Minneapolis, and then they're going to move east of 35W.
Well, I was over on I had a hello. Is that me?
Yeah, it's somebody.
Yeah, hey, watching TV.
Wow.
Hey, nice.
Comes on again. That's not me, guys.
What?
Hello.
Hello.
That's me.
That's you.
That's some website that was doing that. Can you believe that?
It's a darn Star Tribune website.
It is the Star Tribune website.
Or it's TwinCities.com. Both of them are terrible. They've got these ads all over the place that autoplay. It's just
that was an autoplay news story.
It was.
Oh my gosh. So I was looking at the U.S. internet story. Then Steve clicked over to look at the U.S. internet story. It's like, oh my God, make it stop.
Unbelievable.
We got to watch clicking those local media stories, local newspaper. Anyway,
so that's right. We'll leave that to you if you want to cut that out.
Yeah, I will. All right.
Because that's really annoying as hell. But well, anyway.
You know, the whole thing about this, fiber though, I mean, besides it being incredibly expensive to put in the home, you know, cable is continuing to push the envelope on DOCSIS, you know, the data over cable interface, because they're at what, 3.1 now. And there's been releases, you know, sort of the future, DOCSIS 4 and DOCSIS 5. And they're talking about these unbelievable speeds, you know, a couple hundred megabit per second, you know, and yada, yada, yada. But that still can't compete with fiber. So, I mean, at some point, doesn't it make sense for somebody to come in and say, look, we're going to leapfrog cable? And
it all comes down to the cost of deploying it in the house.
Exactly.
Well, the fact I think the fact of the matter is nobody needs internet so fast that they're going to spend $400 a month. I mean, I just don't think that's you know, we use, you know, I think I've got like 30 or 40 meg here at my house. We have a 1 gig line at Coco, and I don't miss the difference between the two, or there's no huge difference between, you know, for what I need. Now granted, there may be somebody that has, some sort of a torrent business in their home, but I just don't see any need for it myself.
Well, if you look at DOCSIS 3.1, which the spec was ratified a couple of years ago, but it's just starting to roll out, and we'll see more deployments next year. The theoretical maximum is 10 gigs down. It's only 1 gig up, but even if it was 1 gig up and down for most of us at home, that would be more than enough.
Oh, more than enough.
And it's inexpensive to deploy that because the cable's already there.
I just don't see any reason to go to 10 gig. It's hard to say that, you know, it's like, I'm sure when trains came out, this, I see no reason to go 30 miles an hour, but you know, I suppose, but I just can't see that need, right? Especially as expensive a need as it is.
I can see it because I didn't see a need for a 56, K modem either.
Right, exactly.
Or if 28.8 or whatever was working fine for me.
But then again, is it a need or is it just more of a convenience? Because quite frankly, I mean, you know, it's a split second as it is now, a split of a split second. Is that, you know, it's like more of a convenience. I think it's not necessarily a need.
Well, but, you know, sure. also think about all the servers that are out there that don't have that kind of bandwidth. You know, and there's only a single one of them. Excuse me. So, you know, I know that at one point I had a post that ended up on dig.com. It was like the number 3 post, and I got 60 some thousand page views in an hour. Well, if those had been, you know, consuming some download or something and so on, I mean, there's no way I could have that many concurrent connections with my server.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, a lot of them would fail. Well, now imagine if that's, you know, bigger than that, and you know, people are downloading stuff or, you know, whatever. I mean, there's no way that you can handle that kind of volume.
Bottom line is I don't necessarily think it's a great business model to have 10 gig service and offer it for $400. I just don't think there's going to be a lot of takers on that.
It's kind of positioning, you know. It's sort of like, hey, we're the fastest guy on the block.
Well, I was over at Eskimo, or no, is it
Eskimo?
What was it? Sebastian Joe's. Sorry, over at Sebastian Joe's for coffee one day, and I don't know if just U.S. Internet decided they were all going to hang out there or what, but there were like 8 trucks parked along that line there, you know, over on Franklin. And it was like, well, I guess they're not putting in any cable today.
Well, the guy's got to take a break.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
They were there for a long time. I don't know. It could be that they're actually based out of there. I don't know. But did you guys see this thing on the commercial real estate site?
You know, yes. I just scanned it. Why don't you set it up?
I can talk about it because disclaimer, they are a client.
They are a client. Uh-huh. Does that mean you have a leather jacket like all the guys in this picture?
I didn't get the memo and I didn't get invited. No, that was just the four of the founding team.
Actually Graham is behind the camera taking the picture.
Yeah, there you go.
Or behind that
pillar.
Yeah.
Right. He's hiding behind the pillar.
They got ribbed mercilessly about being a rock band, you know, and then Matt Christensen, the guy on the right, the big CTO, he didn't get the memo to wear a leather jacket. So it was like, that was the major talk. But these guys have quite a startup going here.
This looks like the cast of Wild Hogs.
but they've been working on this thing secretively for upwards of a year, and they finally came out with it, and it's really upend the way the real estate office space model works, because they're allowing people to set their specs and name their price and then alert the market anonymously and receive bids so they can get their perfect office space without having to wonder if they might have missed something out there, and without having to deal with a tenant broker who may only show them a few properties, you know. So it's it really makes things great for the tenant, you know, for the growing businesses, and that certainly includes the startups, many of whom are, you know, like graduating from co-working spaces, right, Phil? Hmm. And
to whom may you be speaking?
Yes. So there are this is going to go over really big. It's not fully launched yet. They're launching the site in stages. They've been testing it, so they're kind of in an open, you know, public beta now of a portion of the site, and pretty soon people will be able to submit bid requests and start getting offers from building owners and leasing brokers who represent them. So it's pretty exciting. They're launching it in the Twin Cities first. Other markets will follow, you know, which will be fairly easy to replicate, and, you know, kind of on the Uber type model, I suppose, where they can go into other metros and launch. But they raised some significant money early on. The idea really resonated with investors and real estate people, real estate developers and investors. So they'll be raising another round here in the not too distant future, and I think it'll be a big one.
Well, I'll tell you.
Yeah,
I'll tell you.
Congratulations to that team. I'm just a minor player, and probably there's 12 or 15 of us overall. It's looking really good.
Well, so I'm curious, the fact that, you know, and it says in that article, this is a notoriously closed mouth sort of network of people that have, you know, handshakes and relationships and things like that. And I can tell you, you know, from firsthand going through the process that I'm going through right now, looking at first spaces, you know, there is a sort of a closed society. How are we going to precipitate these guys getting this sort of thing to happen, to actually, you know, people to provide the information for this service?
Well, there's plenty of incentive for the building owners and the leasing brokers, because they're going to save money. The tenant is going to save money, because normally the tenants have to write a check right up front to the tenant broker. This thing is cutting out the tenant broker, is basically what it's doing. But they take a big chunk of money up front, not a month at a time over, say, a five-year lease. They get their full check right up front. And that is not productive. I mean, that's what's being disrupted here.
Well, and when we started looking for office space, we did it 11 years ago when we were looking for the next round. But boy, I tell you, even then I was stunned by how inefficient the whole the whole process was. And then when we got to know our landlord really well in our office space here in Eden Prairie, There were many, many times when he had office turnovers and it would take forever to fill the space because it just, you know, there wasn't really an efficient way to get out to the marketplace for him.
That's right.
And so it was kind of a, really the only ones that win in this whole thing are the brokers.
Well, yeah. And this is an industry that's been, you know, too much the old boy network and the handshakes and, you know, it's not been automated and something had to change. And Jim Simpson, the CEO and co-founder, you know, thought this could be done and started talking to, you know, building owners and major leasing brokers. And they loved the concept. And he said, am I crazy or could this work? You know, and it's like they said, hell yes, it could work. You know, can you build it? Well, he pulled together a team that's built a damn good platform and they're off and running. So, you know, and I think by mid to late January, it'll be fully launched and they're going to have a big event for local leasing brokers and building owners. I think on January 27th, possibly, and we'll be hearing a lot more about it as time goes on here.
So is Code 42 a beta tester since they backed out of the Mosaic
what a building? Nice segue. Yeah. Before we get into that, Crelo is going to use the platform for themselves.
Graham.
Yep.
Graham. You're selling now.
I was just going to say they're going to eat their own dog food. So, you know, and there are certainly other startups that are going to jump in quickly here, I'm sure.
So Code 42, so are they like on the block? Are they going to like get sold to someone? Is that why they backed out or are they just got a better deal from somebody else?
I think it's got
on the office space.
I think it's got to be an M&A deal. You know, I've thought they were a takeout candidate for a long time. What's it been? 2 years at least since they got the big funding from Accel Partners. I'm thinking there's a deal coming.
Mm.
You know, an acquisition. And it could be a year-end deal.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think that's going to be a year. And this might happen in 2015, but I don't think it's a year-end deal. I think there's something that, you know, one of my predictions, you know, we'll talk about predictions later, but I don't. I just think a lot of it is that they just don't want to put that kind of money into just building out a plant. That's a lot of money for a startup rather than putting it into a building or something like that at this point in their careers, you know, or in their life cycle. It might make more sense to build up the product more and that sort of thing.
Does anyone know if they got that funding from the city?
Yeah, maybe. It was locked up. Yeah, it was locked up.
That's what's so goofy about this. I mean, if they didn't think they wanted to use their money that way, then why did they go to all that trouble?
Well,
there's something behind this, and
there's some buzz that they're already in play. That's somebody coming after them.
Yeah, definitely.
And that they don't want them to go sign some big lease they got to get out of.
Yeah. Exactly. Yep. Because they're bursting at the seams. They've spread out in multiple locations. I mean, what are they going to do? Continue to try to find satellite offices in Northeast now, or, you know, what are they going to do? But something, I just smell something coming here.
Yeah. You know?
Well, maybe they're going to take a page from Apple's playbook and build like a headquarters somewhere in the suburbs that looks like a space station.
We can only hope.
That would be cool.
That would be cool.
That would be.
I like that idea.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. We could start that rumor.
All right, Graham. You also probably know folks that are going off to the CES. Who are any of your clients headed off to CES this year, like you did last?
Yes, I am myself with a new client that's actually based in South Korea, but they have a U.S. affiliate. It's called Patchworks, and the U.S. affiliate is Patchworks Americas. And that fellow is based here and asked me to help them out. So, yeah, they're all about, a couple of things. Mobile accessories. They're a real premier manufacturer of mobile accessories. So we're talking phone cases is a large part of their business. But also they're doing the tempered glass screen protectors, which are becoming a really big deal over in Japan, especially. And these guys just market a really, really amazing engineered product that's the super hard glass.
So this, but this isn't a local company. This is a
it's a South Korean based company with a local affiliate. So cool. They don't really count as a local Minnesota company, obviously. But Julio wrote about several, right? That are
Hey Graham, this one thing. What happened to that case from last year where you could you had a touchpad on the back?
Right. The case introduced in January 2013 was the touch sensitive case. So it had touch sensitivity on the back of the side
for gaming and so on.
Back in the side. And then last year at CES 2014, they introduced a pressure sensitive case. That's Canopy, and that they have still not succeeded in raising enough money to really take that to the broad market, and the company has gone kind of quiet. So no, I'm not involved with them as I was last year for the month helping them around CES. So that final chapter hasn't been written yet.
So we've got stuff coming from, it's interesting. I checked the article out and clicked on the Memorex stuff from iMation, and it just takes me to a storage space. I didn't see what their other offerings were as far as, what did they say they were going out there for?
To try and get somebody to buy them?
Probably. I think they were trying to, what was their assortment of branded gadgets, including an Android tablet, a water-resistant shower speaker, and a water-resistant outdoor speaker. I click on the Memorex link there, and it just takes me to storage accessories. That's it.
Yeah.
So I don't see any of that other stuff that they're talking about. But
well it's plus, probably not going to be announced until at CES.
Maybe
that's
so.
That's probably why.
Well, maybe, and then they've got the LED television under the Memorex brand and so on. And I mean, you know, who knows who makes those things?
Yeah.
Who their OEM is.
Yeah, they're all made by the same guys, you know, Foxconn or whatever in China.
Yeah.
Right.
Probably so.
Yeah. Well, actually, a lot of them are made by Funai, F-U-N-A-I, and they're a huge conglomerate that makes primarily consumer electronics, but other industrial stuff. And if you're... Like the Polads just bought the Polaroid brand that was in the paper this morning, for $70 million.
And they're going to change it to Poladroid.
Yeah, right.
What?
Right.
Nice. Got a great ring.
That's right. But they're going to have more products with the Polaroid brand on it, and that's where they'd go. They'd go to a Funai or somebody like that, and just buy the stuff OEM and slap their label on it. So.
Yep.
There you go.
Yeah.
So every new twin gets a Polaroid camera. Sweet.
True. Yeah. I'm sure they're all excited about that.
Yeah. Instant developing.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, in actuality, it's kind of interesting because my daughter actually asked for a Polaroid camera for Christmas.
An old school one?
Yeah. Like an old school one.
Wow. I've got one. It's hard to find film for it.
But yeah. I would imagine.
Well,
so.
You know, there's there's a really good book out. About Edwin Land. It's a book about the story of the founding of Polaroid and who Edwin Land was and what he went through and all of that. And after Steve Jobs died, I read this article about how that was one of his favorite books, and he was a real devotee of Edwin Land and how he came to view the market and how he got things started. And it's really fascinating. It's a good book.
The namesake of the Land camera, is that what we're...
Yeah, Polaroid Land. Yeah,
he was the one that invented it, yeah.
It was founded in 1937, so it's like 70-some years old. Is that what the article said?
Yeah.
Well, and a lot of that kind of started that whole tech revolution that around Boston. You know, he was one of the pioneers of that. He was... You know, because that's sort of the Silicon Valley of the East is up there.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I just have to mention your old company, Kodak. When I had to think of you when I saw they're introducing Android smartphones. Is that what they're doing? Or tablets or both?
The thing to note is that they're licensing the name, just like Polaroid has done, right? Okay. So yeah, it'll be licensed. It's kind of funny because what's left of the company is the division that I worked in, which is the digital printing division. And I was involved in the launch of the original digital printers way back when. All of the digital cameras, everything else has been pretty much shut down, which is unfortunate because we had a huge lead. I remember we introduced the first high-end professional digital camera in 1992, I think, or 93 at Siebold in San Francisco. And it was 12 megapixels, I think, and cost $50,000 or $40,000 or something like that. Which is kind of funny because now, you know, we have, you know, 20 megapixel cameras in phones.
So. Right. I got a kick out of it. I can't remember what site it was on, newsfeed it was on, maybe Gizmodo or something like that. It's like Kodak will start, building or producing, you know, Android devices or whatever. And it's like, because, well, why not?
If you look at the brand, I mean, the brand is still intact for the most part, and it still has a good feeling to it. So for the same reason that Polaroid is being exploited in the way it is, I think you'll see the same thing with Kodak.
Sure. I don't know. If you ask somebody under the age of 40 what Kodak was, or excuse me, under the age of 30, Kodak, will people know what Kodak is?
In a historical sense, probably yes, because it is such ingrained in the culture. It is a cultural item, just like Coke. So if Coke went broke, in 20, 30 years, people would still know what Coke was about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it is ingrained in the culture in the same way.
Well, and we can thank Paul Simon with Kodachrome, which we still hear on the radio.
Yeah.
Quite often.
Well, that's a whole nother discussion.
Radio, you mean?
Right. We're still hearing Kodachrome, but anyway, yeah, I remember that got a resurgence when they actually stopped making Kodachrome.
Well, let me ask you this, Phil, for people under 30, when you ask them about radio, what do they say?
I don't know. That's the good question, isn't it?
Is that that thing Marconi invented?
That's that
radio. Not wireless, isn't it?
Radio. I don't. That's that place. That's that thing that plays all the commercials.
Well, no, they say it's iTunes radio. No, they don't say that either.
No, actually, radio still
is that
has,
like Spotify, except not on a smartphone.
Still, the number one source for new music is the radio.
Really? Wow.
For new music discovery. Yep, sure is.
Well, I think we should get going here so we can get to our predictions for next year, but we got a few other stories to go through. Just real quickly, I wanted to mention that for those of you who are running the Mac operating system, Apple did something interesting, which was they used something they've had in the Mac App Store for some time. They can push automatic updates, and they did that.
I noticed that. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
All of a sudden a pop-up comes up and it's like, you've been updated. I'm like, I didn't ask for it.
Exactly. Well, I've got mine set for manual, and it still pushed the update, which was really interesting. Yeah.
That was the NSA update, right?
That's what that's right. Yeah. Well, actually, no, the invisible files coming in through Dropbox. That was the NSA update.
No, well, but I immediately, when I went in, I immediately went to iTunes to see if I got another U2 album.
Oh man. Well, anyway, so what it was is there was a problem with the network time protocol, the little thing that connects up to the U.S. Naval Observatory atomic clock and syncs computers time. There was a hole in it, and it could have easily been exploited to put malware on your system. Any Unix base, any Linux server, et cetera, et cetera. So pretty scary stuff. And they went ahead and pushed the patch. Now I'm trying to get to make sure that my server gets patched. So scary stuff.
So what's with this Skype security flaw?
Well, this is a really weird one. So apparently there's a hole in Skype, which allows you to call someone and immediately call them with another Skype instance. You know, so you call them twice and you hang up one, but the other one stays open. So I'm not exactly sure because I haven't tested it myself, but It's kind of odd. So apparently, just like when we're on the podcast here, if one of you guys drops, you just call back in and you're automatically added back into the call.
Mm-hmm.
It's that kind of thing that can be exploited. So the intruder needs two instances, two computers running Skype, for example, or two devices. And
then nobody has those.
Right. So they can call the target from one device and mm-hmm. disconnect it while it's ringing, and the target's account will ring back the intruder's other device, which is also running the same account. They both have to be logged into the same account. And because Skype will try to reinitiate the call, the automatic callback, isn't it? I mean, that's
kind of scary. And so what does this get them by doing that? Being able to listen to whatever audio is on the targets.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Listen to what's going on in their house or their office, huh?
Right. So one of the ways around that, not that I want to do a security tip of the week, but
why not?
One way around that is
I miss the horses.
I'm sorry. Too. Well,
Wilbur.
One way around that is to only allow calls from your contacts. Skype contacts. You can go into preferences.
Isn't that good hygiene anyway? Because you don't want to get propositioned by these Ukrainian women.
Yeah.
What if you want to get proposition by Ukrainian?
Well, then just say, okay, I accept the contacts from any Yahoo.
But just remember, those Ukrainian women are a fat guy named Igor who's sitting there at his computer in Kiev. So,
right. Well, is this a good argument for not having Skype open on your devices at all times? I mean, I don't. I only fire it up when I need it.
No,
yeah, well, leave it sitting on.
Well, plus you can. Well, I have it on all the time, but because I use it constantly. But because I have a phone number for Skype, so it'll ring and I can answer my direct line through Skype. Right. But you can see when there's a connection, though. That's what I don't understand. It's like, well, if it's hidden, maybe they could sneak in, but. Other than that,
Just be on the safe side, and log out of Skype when you're not using it.
Yeah.
On to the predictions. That's what I say. On to the predictions.
All right. What did we miss? Tim, what did you miss? What'd you hit?
Well, I think it's just like every year. I kind of get them half right. So, Apple entered the wearable computing space. They at least announced, and I got that right. And they didn't do anything with TVs, which I also got right. The whole thing with Google Glass, it wasn't released to consumers, but it hasn't been a huge success.
Yep.
Although it's still it's successful with geeks.
Yeah.
I think that Microsoft started a transformation.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that they got their mojo back yet, but I think they're going to get it back.
Yep.
And Satya Nadella has done a good job, so I'll take a half credit for that. And then I'm not sure if we complain too much about the lack of funding for startups this past year, so I might have got that one wrong.
Oh, no, that's no, still goes
I,
on.
Yeah, I think that there was some considerable funding that happened.
Yeah.
We complain about lack of funding.
Yeah, I think it's still, yeah. I think the complaints are still there.
Oh, sorry,
yeah.
I lost my head.
Or we complain about people having to move to get funding.
So, right.
So where there's plenty of complaints.
All right. I'll say I got them mostly right.
There you go. Good for you.
How's that?
So Graham, how about you, buddy?
Graham got them mostly wrong. Just kidding.
Yeah. Well, Facebook did not buy Twitter and rename itself Fritter.
That would be
so
funny.
I'm really sorry that didn't happen.
And then if Apple got them, it would be an Apple Fritter.
There you go. Oh, yeah. Didn't think of that. And then, I talked about some new app coming along, maybe an evolution of Snapchat. I don't know if that happened. I don't really care, My big one, Apple will introduce a quote-unquote ear wearable, a high-tech hearing device, did not happen. But, I think there's more to come on that front. Apple will introduce an enhanced Siri. I don't know. They did, didn't they, Steve?
Yeah.
I guess
yeah.
they did.
It was slightly better. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they don't have this intelligent notification thing, which is sort of like Google Now.
Right. That they don't really have really that yet. Happened. Yeah. The Bitcoin bubble did burst, although I can't remember what it was trading at a year ago. I didn't look back. but it's definitely way, way down from its peak. But I think it started to come back up. 2014 will be a good year for Minnesota startups. Yes, it was. Acquisitions will accelerate, you know. And I thought there would be at least three specific companies that I knew that would get acquired. Not that many did. But I also said angel and VC investment will accelerate at a faster rate in 2013. I haven't seen the numbers yet, but I think it did increase from 2013. I'm reasonably certain it did. So that's where kind of I am from last year. Steve?
Well, the Internet of Things will move to the next level and see mass merchants start to carry stuff. Home Depot is carrying it and Staples and others. So it's
Target has a pin cap with stuff on it.
Yeah, just a few. Yep. So that was a hit, I think. U.S. Power Grid having a major security breach. Nope. Bluetooth LE. Thanks. That was a simultaneous buzz, Tim. Bluetooth LE will turn our smartphones into beacons and turn on switches and all that. That happened, but my very last part of the sentence there, and make buying porn easier, it actually didn't. It was actually... Yep. Had no effect on that.
On the completely opposite side of Graham, Steve was providing or expecting big things for Bitcoin.
I was, and did not happen. That was a miss.
But mainstream consumers can use it. I don't know. It depends on how you define mainstream. Sites like Dell.com offer Bitcoin payment.
Graham, thank you for your support, but that was a mess.
It was a mess. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Personal cloud. I would argue that was a hit. Personal cloud means in this context to be able to have your own personal server and all of that and hang it on your network. But what did happen was I'm going to give myself maybe 40% credit for this. It was the drive manufacturers, Seagate and Western Digital and others, that basically created their cloud-based drive capability. So you could put your music and all that stuff on your drive, hang it on your network, and then access it through their cloud. So it kind of sort of was a personal cloud, not exactly my vision, but Phil?
One of the things that we sort of missed in the year is that what happened with storage was crazy. It's almost unlimited, pretty much for very, very low.
Right.
A lot of us last year were paying $9.95 a month for 200 megabytes, I think, of Dropbox. And it's now a terabyte.
A terabyte. Yeah.
Which is just nearly unlimited for most of us,
Yep.
Absolutely. So that was a huge thing. All right, Phil.
Let's see. Big data tools is going to present a major opportunity to access quality data. I think that's happened. I can't necessarily say something that's point to something that's broken that world open, but it continues to grow. So I don't know if that's a hit or a miss.
Yeah, that's it. That's a hit.
That's a meh. And then wearable tech will go mainstream. That's a miss.
Yeah. No. I don't know. It sort of happened.
Yeah.
Say it didn't happen with Apple, but it happened certainly with Google with all the
Google Wear and that's
Google
sort of
Wear stuff and a lot of fitness trackers. I mean, that accelerated.
That's
so
true.
I think that we do see a lot of wearable tech.
Okay.
I'll give you a hit for that. And I'll give myself a hit from 2013.
Exactly.
As being the Nostradamus from the future.
There you go.
Without the beard.
I was just a year early.
More opportunity for encrypted data. And I think that's happened a lot. We've talked about encrypted phone calls. We've talked about encrypted mail. We've talked and so I think that's happened. It's not the mainstream. I don't think if you ask average Joe Sixpack, they're going to say what encrypt what. So Supreme Court. They got preoccupied with something else. So as far as making the decision on the power of the NSA, I think there was a decision made, but we'll see how it goes sort of thing. So,
Don't ask, don't tell.
Don't ask, don't tell. Yeah. So
that's basically what it is.
Probably just say, don't take credit for that at all. So,
that was a miss.
And then the Microsoft CEO. I think that I got that. Bluetooth LE proliferation. I would not say it proliferated, but.
I would disagree. I think you hit that one. Because look, I mean, look at all the every single modern phone that came out in 2014 had Bluetooth LE. As
true,
did many tablets.
I still don't think it's being used to the extent that it should be or it could be used. True. I still, you know, when you think Bluetooth LE, you immediately go to the beacon world, and I still think beacons are completely underutilized. But
That hasn't happened.
But to say that the Bluetooth LE is now part of all the mainstream phones, yes, I would agree with that. But so okay, I'll take 40% on that.
All right.
As proliferation means like it's everywhere. I just don't know if it's everywhere.
All right, drum roll. Tim. 2015 predictions. Tim Elliott.
All right, so the first one, we're going to go round robin, right?
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
Like normal. Okay. First one, I think we're going to see Apple going on an acquisition spree next year, and it's mainly to kind of fill in and make their existing products better, but also fill some gaps that they've had. I can see them doing things like acquiring Spotify to basically replace iTunes. iTunes is the kind of an old and bloated piece of software. If they use Spotify to both bring it to the cloud, but also make it cooler and better, I think that would be a great addition. And I also see them doing something with Apple TV and maybe acquiring someone like a Netflix or a Hulu to kind of make their own over-the-top solution for watching television.
And stand by for the Apple fritter, right?
Yeah, right.
I don't know about that, but maybe Graham has that on his prediction.
Well, I was going to say what you're predicting, Tim, is a big Apple acquisition, which they haven't done much of at all. I mean, Beats would be an example of a fairly large one, but
and hasn't that taken off like crazy?
Well, yeah, but what you're talking about is even bigger than that, and they have, you know, they've certainly got the money to do it. And a lot of people keep wondering, will that happen? You know, or don't they need to acquire some? You know, I mean, there's people saying, oh, they should acquire Tesla, you know, and that kind of stuff. I just don't think it's going to happen. But they make a lot of smaller acquisitions. My first prediction is the stock will hit 130, driven largely by the sales success of the Apple iWatch, which I think we'll see by February or March at the latest. So that's my first. Steve?
Well, so cybersecurity is going to be on everybody's top 10 list for must-haves in 2015. I think VPNs are going to do well and all of that. But what's really interesting is how Google has gone with HTTPS, the SSL secure connection. They've begun to have the padlock not be green, but to have a line in it showing that the certificate is still using the old insecure SHA-1. And they're going to start doing that everywhere. And they're going to add HTTPS as a ranking signal. Now, it's not going to be a really strong signal right now, but they're basically putting the world on notice that SSL is going to mean something in 2015 going forward. And most importantly, Cloudflare, the CDN and proxy server company that protects your server and site and all of that, rolled out something called Universal SSL, which if you use their service, they'll turn everything into HTTPS. And so it's the web is going to turn into a secure web. I think it'll take 2015 and 2016, but that's my number one prediction.
Good one.
Mm. It's definitely a Steve prediction.
Yeah. It sounds like it's almost true to that today. You know,
yeah. Well, that's but Google has
saying Google's yet to put their reaching very much. Tim, is that what you're saying?
Well, no, I mean, after what's happened this year with all the breaks, you know, all the hacks.
Yeah,
you know, it's got to be on the top 10 list. Gotcha. All right, Phil. All right, are you going to really do that first one?
Well, it seems like Steve put that one in there. So
yeah, I wouldn't do that.
Steve seems to think I'm obsessed with teledildonics, but I'm not. Though I probably wouldn't leave the house. My first prediction is the Code 42 is going to either go public or be acquired. So And we talked a little bit about some of the reasoning for that. I got no inside track on that, but it just seems like, yeah, you guys are right. I think that there's
so you don't think it's going to happen this coming week. You think it's going to be?
I don't think it's going to happen this week. I don't think it's going to happen this week. I really don't. Right. I really don't. But yeah, that's it.
Okay. I guess it's back to me then. So in the past year, Google has really made efforts with their Chromebook, especially in education, which has really hurt Microsoft. And I see them kind of either slowing or reversing that trend next year and becoming the number two tablet in education after the iPad, just because.
Agreed.
That's a good one.
What Microsoft has done, I think, with their operating system that runs on tablets and full desktops is really kind of a brilliant strategy. It's really filtered down to even extremely low cost tablets that when, the school systems across the country are looking at buying equipment, buying a $500 iPad versus buying a $100 Windows tablet is going to make the decision fairly easy.
And that's exactly, I mean, Tim, you're right on the money with that.
I think so too. So, hey, Tim,
I'm on the tech advisory council here in Lakeville and more Google products. Yep.
So Tim, quick question. Yeah. Do you think that Microsoft is going to either fork or slightly dumb down the OS and pull out some of the stuffs to make things run faster or be cheaper to maintain or something?
What they're showing with Windows 10 is that they're going to take a step back, particularly on the desktop, which I think is a nod to the enterprise. And they're going to make it look more like Windows 7. But I think on the tablet space, it's still going to be this kind of hybrid where it works as a tablet, but it also can be docked with a keyboard, either Bluetooth or physically connected like the Surface has, and act as a full laptop with a full version of Windows. So I think that strategy is going to really pay dividends for them and make people that are looking at buying a new tablet or even buying a new laptop, make them look at buying the Surface or, other Windows, tablets. Because for someone like me that's looking at, kind of multi-use, I think what they have is a very interesting proposition that I don't think Apple is going to ever do. I don't think you'll ever see, an iPad that works with Mac OS and with iOS. And that's basically what you get with the Surface. You get a full version of Windows, but it also has that Metro interface that makes it work, like a tablet. So anyway, so I think they're going to Microsoft will make major gains in the education space, but also across the board against Chromebooks.
Graham?
Okay. Well, I'm still on to Apple here for my second one. Though it didn't happen in 2014, I still think Apple will enter the hearing assist market, shall we call it. It's just too big and growing for them to ignore, and they very well could make an acquisition here. But, it's only a matter of the right time for them and obviously the right technology that people will pay for rather than the expensive, ugly solutions now available.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think it's just a matter of time, and 2015 could be the year.
Great.
Steve?
Cloud offerings, especially servers, are going to really grow substantially in 2015 and become cheaper, easier to use, and much more approachable for those without deep technical skills. And the reason I say that is I'm seeing what's happening with both Plesk and cPanel for their next iterations, and they're definitely moving in the direction where it'll be simple for those running web host companies to essentially offer a cPanel Lite, for example. Not so much Plesk, but a cPanel Lite where it'll be really easy to go in and set up your email addresses and make some modifications and auto-load programs. Gee, I want an instance of WordPress. You just push a button and it's done. That kind of thing. So I think that'll be a trend that we'll see accelerate in 2015. Phil? Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I think that it's sort of an overreach or, an overarching view of some of the new stuff that'll come out. So get your budget ready for an Apple Watch, the ability to buy a consumer grade Oculus Rift, iPhone 6S will come out. And then you'll probably be able to buy an economy version of Tesla. Now, economy is going to be a sort of a relative term, but I think that another Tesla will come out.
Well, did you see the announcement yesterday that Tesla's Roadster, their original Roadster, is coming out with version 2.0 and will have a 400-mile range?
Yeah, I saw that.
So they're moving in the right direction relative to.
But I'm not sure what the Roadster, what's the Roadster price at? I don't even remember.
It was like 100, 120 grand or something.
Kind of it's the sporty version. I think that there's going to be more of a consumer class.
Yeah, it'll be 35 grand as their target.
Yeah.
So that's cool. So
I think that'll happen.
Tim?
So much to Steve's chagrin, I think the Internet of Things will continue to be a hobbyist business, a lot like X10 was back 20 years ago. And it's going to fail to cross over into the mainstream, despite what I think are going to be major efforts by Apple, Google, and Samsung in the coming year.
Okay, I'll counter that in a moment. Graham.
Your chagrin is short-lived, I guess.
That's right.
Okay, my next one is much of the continued focus on the broad topic of big data will be about personal analytics this coming year and the so-called personal data bank, where you control your own data and actually have the ability to monetize it. And I think it's pretty cool that we actually have at least two Minnesota startups that are playing in this space already. And I suspect we'll be hearing more from them this coming year.
I think that could be huge.
Yeah, it really is a trend, and it's good for the individual. And so, the advantages of big data will come down to actual reality that your everyday Joe can maybe relate to a little bit.
Yep.
At least those of us that are technically inclined. And I probably should say my next one because this kind of ties in with this. The Mini Analytics organization. Locally, which is now more than 4,100 people, is going to continue to grow and will entertain discussions of actually becoming a for-profit business and even potentially franchising the concept. You might laugh at that, but it's actually already been suggested.
I'm not laughing. I think it's a cool idea.
Yeah, because I'm now a board member, and it's mainly an events organization, but it's just growing leaps and bounds. And we've got one of their events we'll talk about at the end on the upcoming events list. So I guess over to you, Steve.
I think Automattic, the company started by Matt Mullenweg, the kid that started WordPress years ago. And they own WordPress.com and Kismet and VaultPress and all that stuff, is going to deliver a mobile app tool that enables anyone to deliver high-quality content. Close your ear or plug your ears, Phil. An app will be driven by its platform and drive an entirely new class of themes and especially plugins. And I'm already seeing this happening in a bunch of different areas, none the least of which is curation. And so the disconnect right now is if you want to publish a magazine, for example, and you want to do it with a server-based content being driven, one of your only choices is to go with Adobe and pay them 25 grand a year, if you have anything more than one magazine or one publication. And so it's very, very difficult to be able to actually have an app with content that you can derive from a server. So I think
you're just talking about like publications. You're not talking about anyone that has an app idea coming up with
I'm not
a mobile app, but using a very simple interface.
Very simple interface, and the primary goal of it will be you won't be able to access maybe the site on the web, or you could, but it'll be something that the content itself will populate the app.
Yeah, it's kind of in the vein of every business as a publisher these days.
Yeah.
And, this kind of gets into the Flipboard arena. But interestingly enough, Steve, DoApp has come out and said they're playing in this space.
Oh, really?
They said that when they're at, when their part of their business got acquired, that they'll be using some of those funds to pursue a new business in that space.
Nice.
So there you go.
Phil?
I think this is more of a public reaction or a public view, but hacking is no longer going to be news. It's gonna come out right on the pile of just like mass shootings. News reports on hacks are gonna have the life cycle of about a fruit fly. So I just don't think it'll be, you know, we'll still hear reports of major companies being hacked, but the general overall public reaction is gonna be so.
So that means my security tip of the week, it'll be, why bother, right?
Well, I mean, it's just like, whatever.
Yeah.
You are predicting breach fatigue.
Breach fatigue. There you go. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I like that. You ought to trademark that.
We could have the fruit fly of the week.
There you go.
There you go. Yeah. I got Tim? These bananas and these fruit flies have been driving me crazy. Anyway, I think that Apple is going to finally update the Apple TV.
Oh, yes.
They're going to open it up to third-party developers and probably embrace a new form factor, which is the stick, which the Chromecast sort of popularized, but Roku has one.
And Gary Busey will be the international.
Right. Amazon has one, as you know. But they're not going to integrate this into a TV set. It'll be a standalone stick, but it will have a lot more functionality and third-party apps, mostly games, but other apps too.
Graham, this is a big one. Go ahead.
Well, the Minnesota startup scene, obviously the acquisitions are going to continue. I mean, the consolidation M&A market continues to be hot. I still think we could see one or more by year end because these negotiations in the smoke-filled rooms, if you will, are going on all week long, right up till midnight on the 31st. So who knows what we could see. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Code 42. We might hear of some others. And we didn't see as many in 2014 as I predicted a year ago, other than the partial acquisition of DoApps business by the big public real estate firm CoreLogic. That was significant, but we didn't see as many as three or four biggies as I said we might. But I do believe we'll see at least three in 2015. And you want me to name my picks?
Yeah. Yep.
Want me to go out on a limb here? Okay.
All right.
I'm going to say that these are likely candidates. Sport Engine.
Yep.
When I Work. Mobile Realty Apps. And Lead Pages, a company that's only a year old. I think we could see any of them get acquired.
Well, Mobile Realty Apps is now HomeSpotter. So
they did change their name officially, didn't they? Yes.
Yep. Yeah.
That's a good move. Huh. It was so generic, you know. Before. Well,
I think you're spot on with Lead Pages too, because I've always felt they're a feature, not a full value proposition.
Well, and I know from the lead VC, Seth Levine at Foundry Group, that is the fastest growing SaaS firm they've ever invested in.
Oh,
and
wow.
That's saying a lot. So look out for them. You know, we could be hearing something about them. So that's it for me for that one.
And okay. So my next one is solid state drives, SSD drives, are going to plummet in price per megabyte. And I think in 2015 will be the time when they tip toward becoming the preferred and dominant method of storage over spinning Winchester hard drives. And anecdotally, I've talked to two different web hosting companies that offer SSD hosting, one of which I'm now part of. And yes, you get less storage rather than, oh boy, you get a terabyte. It's, oh boy, you get 100 gigs. It is so much faster. Mm-hmm. And I think more and more people are going to have the experience of our son. We had to upgrade his laptop. He had a hand-me-down that was quite old, and we bought him a new MacBook Pro 13 inch with 16 gigs of RAM and a 512 gig SSD and all of that. And I looked at him after he'd used it for about a half an hour, and I said, so what do you think? And he looks at me and says, Dad, this is so incredibly fast. So yep. I think more and more people are going to have that experience where they're like, oh my God, this is just night and day. And the demand will accelerate. So Phil,
Let's see, what am I on to? FCC is going to adopt a form of net neutrality that's going to favor big business. So really there's not going to be any net neutrality.
Boy, you have a dystopian future in mind.
I don't. Don't I have?
I know.
Oh, I'm just looking at the incoming Congress. Come on, really?
Yeah.
You think we're going to get net neutrality out of these guys? Yeah, right.
So Phil, are we going to see like teenagers hunting down other teenagers to the death?
Yes. Well, you jumped ahead to my Hunger Games prediction, but I'm sorry about that.
All right. Timster.
So unless we see some major policy shifts or leadership changes in Russia, I think we're going to see gas go down to about $40 a barrel, which is going to stimulate the U.S. economy greatly, but not the European economy because of taxes. And that extra stimulus will free up more funding for startups. So I think it's going to be a really good year for startups, both in Minnesota, but across the U.S. generally.
Unless you're an oil startup in North Dakota.
Right, exactly.
I like that. More jingle in the pockets of Minnesota angels. That's good. That kind of leads me into my next
but they still actually write a check. That's the hard part.
Well, it's already accelerated SUV and big pickup truck sales because people are like, oh my God, look at how cheap gas is. Let's go out and do a non-strategic 3 to 5 year per auto purchase.
Okay, then we get be started on the whole SUV thing again.
So we drove down to Arkansas yesterday, and that's where I'm at, at my in-law's house. And I actually paid $1.89 a gallon.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God.
For gas yesterday.
Like, talk about a blast from the past. Wow.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it. It was one of those prepay things, so I prepaid, and I gave him like $30 or something. And I had to go back to get change.
You know, Mike,
the whole tank costs like 26 something.
I don't know where Michael
containers and milk jugs to fill up.
Yeah.
I don't know where our pal Michael Roventine was, but he posted a photo on Facebook of $1.69.
Oh my God.
Of a gas pump that he was filling up the tank. I don't know where that was.
That pump right outside of a refinery probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Or it was outside that auto museum.
Yeah, exactly.
My gosh. Okay, Graham.
Yeah, well, I'm on that note about angels having more jingle in their pocket. I believe, as I always do, that angel funding will increase dollar-wise in 2015 in Minnesota, as I'm pretty sure it did in 2014, although I have not seen the numbers. But I think that'll be helped in good part by the acquisitions I spoke about, as successful founders who get acquired become new investors in the angel pool. And kind of as a corollary to this, I see a VC round of $20 million or more for at least two Minnesota startups. I'm trying to quantify my predictions a little bit. Otherwise, if they're real fuzzy and abstract, they're hard to say whether, you know, they come true or not. But there is one with a hard number in it. Hmm. 20 million or more VC round for at least two Minnesota startups. That's it. I'm done.
So here's mine, my last one. The Internet of Things, counter to what Tim said, will continue to grow 30% to 40%, or continue to grow, and 30% to 40% of that growth will come from outside the traditional tech sectors. Like home automation and wearables, medical implants, stuff like that. And this is all based on actually several different studies that I actually have on my computer here, from McKinsey and IDC, and one that was paid for by Cisco with some third party in terms of growth. And so rather than have it be supply chain related or, you know, enterprise IT related, it's actually going to come from consumer driven applications.
Yeah, interesting.
Phil.
Okay. Are we on our last ones, guys? Yeah. I guess we are. Oh, so I probably should. I can skip over my.
Take us out.
I think the one I see is that more and more schools are going to adopt a tech curriculum as that extension in the actual ongoing adoption of STEM and STEAM. So I think that you're going to see more and more coding classes and things like that being offered in our schools.
So it'll be all the content will be digital.
No, I'm just saying that the programming will be, you know, the programming, you'll be able to take classes in programming, computer programming and coding, and be more aggressive in that space, because I think that we've realized that we need to have kids more exposed to that world. And Lord knows there's a lot of need for that. And I don't see that letting up anytime soon. So,
yep. Cool. All right. I think we should quickly go through our cool thing of the week and wrap up here, because we're running over a little bit.
Well, yeah. Cool thing of the week for me is Gingerbread Creations. I think these are pretty cool. So,
and what are they? What are they?
If you take a look at it, I found this on Gizmodo. You actually could make, rather than a gingerbread house, you could possibly make things like a gingerbread transformer. So things like that. So very cool.
That's funny.
The gingerbread AT-AT walker.
Walker, yeah.
From the Battle of Hoth, I thought those were
right. With a little Jujube characters walking.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. We'll put there'll be a link in the show notes.
It's a link.
Can look at it. Yeah. Tim.
So even though I find the Internet of Things to be a hobbyist thing, I do find some cool products, and this Aeon Labs Z-Wave Smart Energy Switch is one of them. Mm-hmm. So it's for about $30 on Amazon now. You can plug this in to an appliance and find out how much energy it's consuming, but you can also use it as a controller to turn it off and on. So you could have it on something like, say, an air conditioner, like a window air conditioner. You can find out how much energy it's using, or your refrigerator or whatever.
Well, and I've got a buddy who's got a cabin, and he's got when the modem goes down, then he's got his Wi-Fi router running. And so he and I did a whole bunch of research, and we found a box that will auto start the modem, but it won't auto start the Wi-Fi, because the Wi-Fi is actually in a different location. And this way, if that thing ever went down, he could always reboot the Wi-Fi with one of these devices.
Yeah.
So that's kind of cool.
$30.
Can you control it from your smartphone?
Yeah. That's what you do. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Cool.
Smartphone or anything that can run a browser.
Yeah. Cool.
Or you can also call Joe up at the cabin and him go drive over there and start it up.
Right. Neighbor Joe. Yeah. Well, my new thing is, it's not new for the market, but it's fairly new, is the Slingbox M1. The one with Wi-Fi that only retails for about $150. And I actually got it for $134 on Amazon as a gift from my son for Christmas, so he can watch our DirecTV HD from his apartment that he uses part-time in Manhattan, where he obviously does not want to pay for cable. And he travels a lot. So all he's got to do is spend $15, $14.99 on an iPhone app. Or if he also wants to watch it on his iPad or Kindle or whatever he has, he can download the app and pay $15 for that and watch everything that we have on DirecTV. So wish me luck. I'll be hooking that up on Monday when the DirecTV people come by and upgrade us to HD finally.
All right.
Yeah.
Good, good, good.
Steve?
Well, mine is a gift from my kids. It's the Plantronics Backbeat Go 2 Bluetooth headset. Okay. And I'd always been whining and complaining about the fact that Bluetooth has a latency built into it. So if you're watching a video, you can't... the mouth isn't moving in sync with the audio, and somehow Plantronics has figured out how to overcome that, and these Bluetooth headsets work just great. So now I don't have cables hanging out when I'm out walking the dog and all that. It's just these little things that go around your ears, and it works great. The sound quality isn't as good as a really good pair of wired phones, but these are pretty great. Microphone in them, so you can make calls.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. They do look cool.
All right.
Groovy. All right.
So you've gone through all the events before.
Yep.
And I think we're ready to rock and roll here on the ending of our show, boys.
Get out of town.
Yeah. I think we're ready.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, I want to thank everyone for listening to the Minivade Gang podcast, and we'll see you next week.
We'll see you next year on
there you go
the Minivate Gang podcast. All right.
Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Happy New Year. Merry Christmas, baby. You sure did treat me nice. Merry, Merry Christmas, baby. You sure did treat me nice. You bought me a diamond ring for Christmas. Now I'm living in paradise. I'm feeling mighty fine. I've got good music on my radio. I'm feeling mighty fine. I've got Calvin Owens on my radio. I haven't had a drink this morning, but I'm all lit up like a Christmas tree. Santa come down the chimney, half past three. He left all those beautiful presents, baby, that you sent to me. Merry, Merry Christmas, baby. You sure did treat me nice. I wanna kiss you this morning, baby, while you standing beneath the mistletoe. Christmas, baby.